think you've heard a little bit about our trip, and you'll hear about it more in Big Church today, but Renee Hudson and I were asked to speak on how to share your faith in Zambia. So that's what this is going to be today. Before we met with several missionaries as we gathered information to do that, which was so much fun. I love being with missionaries, and especially over the last couple of years as we started teaching English as a second language here in our church, I've really learned a lot about sharing my faith, too. So a lot of this has come from that. And those of you that are, like Kelly and Ms. Melinda, that are in here with us in ESL on Wednesday night, some of this will be familiar with you because it came, we've taught it there and we're teaching it here. So there, you should each have, I made a little pitiful outline for you today. It's got a front and back, and then there's a little circle diagram that we'll do last. Hopefully we'll get to everything today, because in Zambia we had just as much time as you wanted. And so here we have y'all can tell me when we run out of time. So what I want you to do, this is interactive, so I want you to find a partner next to you, and you'll partner up with her, and you're going to kind of practice what you preach here today. So find somebody next to you and be ready for that. And our verse that was the theme of our women's conference was 2 Timothy 2:21. It says, if anyone cleanses herself, she will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. And being useful to the master, that phrase was just what brings to my heart the thought of you want to share your faith and be someone that is useful for him. So let's just pray to begin. God, thank you for every lady in this room, and just they're coming with willing hearts to learn from you today. And I pray that you will just unite us together, God, and just help us to love one another as we share with one another throughout this time. And I pray that you will use your word to equip us to share our faith with others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm sure some of you here today already share your faith boldly, and some of you may be timid in sharing your faith. Some of you may have never even gotten up the courage to share your faith with another person at all. So whoever you are today, I pray that this time will speak to you wherever you are on your journey with God. First, I want to begin with thinking of why we share our faith. If you have your Bibles, open it to Romans 1. We're going to begin there. Romans 1:16 is where we'll begin. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That is the why. We share our faith because we're not ashamed of the gospel. Another word for ashamed is embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed to tell you the gospel. Gospel means good news. Specifically, it's the good news of Jesus. We should never be embarrassed or ashamed to tell others good news. And the truth is that Jesus is the best news ever. Let's look at the second part of that verse. It tells us why we are not ashamed. The second part of the verse says, it is. So what is it? It's speaking of the gospel. The gospel is. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel has the power of God attached right to it for the salvation of those who believe it. If you share the gospel with others, they can be saved from the sin in their lives. So that's the why. We are not ashamed. Now let's look at the next verse in Romans 1:17. It says, for in it, once again, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That is a wonderful definition of sharing your faith. Look at the first phrase, the righteousness of God. You're looking here at what is revealed in the gospel. Well, it's telling us in that verse, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. And that's a funny phrase, but it's saying this is how God made you right before him, through Jesus. So you're wanting to tell others the truth about Jesus. how Jesus made you right with God. You're telling them of your faith in Jesus' work. And then they'll share that faith with the next person. That's the faith to faith. Through the gospel, we're revealing the good news that even though I was born a sinner, God no longer sees me as a sinner. God now sees me as the righteousness of Christ. When God looks down at Carrie, he doesn't see all my sin anymore. Thank goodness. He sees only Jesus who died for my sin. And that's amazing. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God, how God made you right before him. But when you're telling the gospel, you can't just give all the good news and walk away. That's something in the South that we tend to do, and that's dangerous. You have to begin with the bad news. And that is something that we can be embarrassed about. We can be embarrassed about our sin. But one thing I've learned is that the gospel starts with speaking of sin. So we've just got to get it over being embarrassed about our sin, and we've got to admit it. Actually, we're all sinners. We know Romans 3:23 that tells us we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're not alone. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. We all needed rescuing from our sin. And what was the wage of that sin? Death and hell. And we see that in the next verse. Look at Romans 1:18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." So we saw in 17, the righteousness of God, how God made you right with him, is revealed through the gospel. And then in verse 18, we see what else is revealed. God's wrath against our sin. Kelly and I, Kelly Halcott and I, we teach English as a second language with a Vietnamese girl on Tuesday mornings. And we've been with her for about a year and a half now. She came to church last week for Easter, so we were super excited about that. She has no religion. She calls her religion freedom, and nobody can seem to tell me what that means, even missionaries that worked in her area. So really, it just means I don't have a religion. I could talk to y'all all day about her. But speaking of the wrath, when Kelly and I were, she uses her phone to translate words. You know, as we're teaching, because obviously I don't speak Vietnamese, neither does Kelly. We're smart, but not that smart. And we were reading through this verse, and she translated the three words. These were the three words she translated in her phone. I'm just, you know, eavesdropping, watching her. She's translating revealed. What does that mean? She's translating wrath. Then she translated anger, because it translated wrath. About 6 months before this, when Kelly and I were with her, we were studying through the book of John, and we were reading John 3:36. It says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And she looked at me, and Kelly, and I didn't tell the ladies and you all this, but I'm telling y'all. She said, "Will God be angry with me if I don't believe?" I looked at Kelly, and I was like, you know, and I said, maybe angry isn't the best translation, you know. So Kelly gets out her phone, and we translate it, and what does it say? Wrath, anger. Oh, no, you know, so it was a hard moment, but I love her so much that I couldn't be embarrassed, I couldn't be ashamed of the gospel. I had to timidly say that, you know, God has provided a way of escape for you. And it's through Jesus. And he is, I said the word upset. He is upset when you don't choose to follow it. I mean, you know, ladies, the good news is easier to talk about. But we have to speak about God's wrath and the wages for our sin. And we've got to ask God to give us the courage to do that. As a matter of fact, as you share your faith, that's where it should begin, with the bad news. You know, it's funny, we as women, we tend to, it's easy for us to gossip. And you think about, what is gossip? Well, it's bad news. You know, it's always starting with the bad news. You're telling someone, this is what happened this weekend, or whatever. And you know, I just say, let's change that. Let's be out to lunch and be gossiping about the gospel. and the bad news of the sin in our lives, but how Jesus came in and rescued us from it. And let somebody overhear that. And I think that would be a major change in our lives if we could do that. Just start gossiping the gospel. So in Romans, that tells us this is why we share our faith. What is revealed through the gospel and how the power of God for salvation is attached to the gospel. So this is why we should definitely want to learn to share our faith more boldly. So today we're going to practice three, if we have enough time, three ways to share your faith. And so you're going to get with your partner in just a minute, and I'll tell you about that. But so the first way that you can share your faith is just the easiest to me. It's just by sharing your testimony with a friend. So you might say to me, Carrie, what is my testimony? Will you just answer these three simple questions? The first one is, what was your life like before Jesus? The second, how did you come to realize that you needed Jesus? And the third, how is your life different since you became a follower of Jesus? I like to call this your but God story. And you'll see it as you read the Bible. So now turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's a great outline for your testimony. And you'll see that as we read through. The first three verses of Ephesians says this. Ephesians 2, 1, it says, you were dead in your sin, in which you formerly walked according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And then it says at the beginning of verse 4, but God. Do you see your testimony in these verses? Mine would be like this. Remember, you're starting with the bad news. That sounded bad, didn't it? That was your before God. Before I knew Jesus, what did I do? I walked according to the lust of my flesh. I followed Satan's lies. I was a child of God's wrath, and I deserved death. Do you remember your life before Jesus? I can vividly remember mine. I was a very rebellious teenager. I told the ladies in Zambia, in America, you would call me a hot mess. And I remember feeling like the Bible was just a book of rules that was really trying to ruin the fun in all my life. I walked in disobedience, but God rescued me from that. Do you see how the gospel starts with God's wrath and my sin? So when you're sharing Jesus with others, you have to start with your sin, and their relationship with God, who is angry with that sin. We were, as in Ephesians tells us, we were dead in our sin. That means spiritually, we were dead. And that answers the first question. How was your life like before Jesus? So now it's time to practice. We're going to do it little and little as we go. So what I want you to do is find your partner. I'm only going to give you 1 minute each per person. So what will happen is, here's my partner. I'll have a minute to share with her what my life was like before Jesus. And then your partner will have the second minute. I'll stop you after a minute, and then your partner will share for a minute. And actually, a minute goes by quicker than you think. So let's practice. So I'm going to get with your partner. All right, so the second question to answer. Well, I want to say in Zambia, you know, we were just under tents for most of our breakout sessions outside. And the ladies were just sitting on the floor in grass, you know, but watching them every time we did this and just watching them interact, oh, it was like the most fun. It was super fun. So let's keep reading in Ephesians 2 to answer our second question. How did you come to realize that you needed Jesus? Let's start in Ephesians 2, verse 4. It says, but God. He was rich in mercy, and because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive together with Christ. Do you see the but God story there? How did God give you life? Remember, you were spiritually dead. Now, it was because of his great mercy. Mercy means not getting the judgment that I do deserve. It was because of his great love, he made us alive with Christ. Now, for me, the Bible played a great part in God making me alive again. This is how I would answer that question. Carrie, how did you come to realize that you needed Jesus? Well, I was at a youth Bible study. It was actually at Bill's house, and he was teaching it, so that's random. We were friends. We were not dating. We were just friends. He was teaching at his house, and he was just teaching the Bible to a few teenagers. He was teaching on the parable of the seeds in Matthew 13. That night, God convicted me so strongly through his word that the seed of the gospel had fallen on me, but I was in the thorns of life, and the gospel had choked it out of me. But God was giving me another chance to hear the gospel that very night and to give me the gift of salvation. I knew that my life choices were leading me to destruction, and I desperately needed rescuing. I met a friend that night afterwards, and she helped lead me to deny myself, which was not easy, and to follow Jesus. But it was the best decision of my life. Wouldn't you agree? So when you tell someone about how you came to realize, you needed Jesus. But before we practice this, I want to give you a few warnings. You may be sitting here saying, Carrie, I don't really have a time in my life when God changed my heart like this. I'm actually still living in my sin. I may be happy there, but today is your day. Take this as God calling you now and saying, turn from your sin and follow him. Another warning I want to say is to make sure, and this was one of just the instructions from missionary as well that we spoke with. He said, make sure these ladies use the Bible in their testimony. Even if you can't remember, if you were a younger child or younger than I was, you might not remember that specific verse, but you can think of how God is teaching you through the word right now. And that can be part of your testimony. And the last warning I want to give as well when you're sharing your testimony and how God really revealed himself to you is not to use the church or not to emphasize the church that much. The church did not save you. Jesus did. And the church is wonderful, but you've got to focus people to Jesus. Brag on Jesus. As a matter of fact, if that's all you changed about your life, if you just went around bragging about Jesus in every conversation, that would be amazing. A friend of my teenage sons this year, y'all saw him get baptized, his friend, this year. He was just among a group of Christian boys. They were studying the Bible together. And when he went to Brother Chris, this is what he said, a teenage boy, a senior in high school. He just looked at Brother Chris, and he was just totally broken, and he just said, I just want to know Jesus. That's just the most amazing thing I've ever heard. That's all we want them to do, is to want to know Jesus. Not to want to be a part of a church or a youth group or anything, but to know Jesus. He is the only one that has the power of salvation in our lives. So, let's practice. You're going to have 1 minute each to tell about how you realize that you needed Jesus in your life. Okay? Questions? Are y'all with me? Can't tell. Okay. All right. Okay, ready? Set, go. Follower of Jesus. How has God radically changed your life? I hope you have a change in your life. That shows a true sign of genuine salvation. You shouldn't still be living in a lifestyle of sin. So skip down to verse 10 in Ephesians 2, and it says, "For we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Obviously, the good works didn't get me to salvation. I can't do any works for salvation. But after salvation, God has all these works prepared for us. God took me just as a 17-year-old girl, and he changed my path forever. He steered me to a different college so I wouldn't run back into any old patterns of sin. He led me to marry Bill, who was actually teaching me in high school the Bible. Then he gave me 6 children, which is humbling and exhausting and exhilarating all at the same time. But God's word has taught me all the way through this crazy life. And I told the ladies, just think about it. God prepared beforehand that I would go to Zambia and share my faith with those ladies. So that was exciting. So now, I'm going to shorten it. I'm just going to give you 30 seconds each to tell. Is that what? That's not much. I'm going to shorten it for sake of time. Tell your partner real quick how your life has been different since you became a follower of Jesus. Ready? All right, go. Only 30 seconds. 30 seconds, that's quick. Okay. All right, switch partners. You got a quick 30 seconds. Okay. I hope this has made it feel more natural just in your daily life to share with your friends or maybe even somebody like a coworker or at the hair salon, wherever you are in life, about your testimony and what God has done. All right, so that's the first way you can share your faith. The second way is a way that I have grown to absolutely love. It's called the First and Last Sacrifice. This is just a good way if you're in conversation. I'm just going to kind of dialogue through it, and I hope you're able to follow it. But if you're just in your daily life and a way to just start a gospel conversation. This is from a book from a man named Mike Shipman. He wrote the book Any Three, and I was introduced to it, and then when we had these 5 Yemen men come to our ESL class, and they were all Muslim, I really dove into this book, because it speaks of how to share your faith through this first and last sacrifice with a Muslim, and it's amazing. I also talked to Chris and Leah about this. That was when Leah was here last. She said, "Yes, I'm familiar with that book. We use that method." So that helped me feel better too. So it starts with creation. And what you need to do, I have found in my own life, is when you have time, go to Genesis. Read through Genesis 1 through 3 again. Get it in your mind. Think about how God created the world. Back to our friend Nee, she did not know God created the world. She lives in Brookhaven. She did not know that. And so get back to creation. It's easy to brag about creation. So you start with creation. I'm just going to kind of dialogue through. I told the ladies in Zambia, maybe you're with your friends in the market and you're bragging on, they had tomatoes everywhere. Maybe you're bragging on the delicious tomatoes, and you just tell your friend, you know, God created them. Some people actually don't know that. there's a lot of views of creation, as you know. Then you talk about how wonderful it must have been think about Adam and Eve. They got to just live in this beautiful, perfect creation with perfect fruits and vegetables, beautiful flowers. This may be new to them. They may have an alternate view of creation, or they may have your view, but you just want to listen to their view. We've listened to a lot of views in ESL, and then, you know, steer them back to what we believe. Then you move into Adam and Eve and how they disobeyed, and how when they sinned and disobeyed, that separated them from God, and how important it is to know sin separates you from God. And that was the very first sin, Adam and Eve's sin. They were separated from God. This hopefully will lead you into that sin discussion we talked about. God's wrath, or how they had to, and how Adam and Eve had to be punished, and how we're punished for our sin. And God sent Adam and Eve out of that wonderful garden. That must have been so sad. Adam and Eve had been needed to be punished, and they needed forgiveness. And so then you're going to memorize this verse. This is one of my new favorite verses. Hebrews 9:22. This is such an important verse. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so we're seeing Adam and Eve were separated from sin. They needed to be punished. They had to be forgiven. Hebrews tells us, to be forgiven, what do they have to have? A shedding of blood. Okay? Well, then you go to Ephesians 3:21, and we're going to see the first sacrifice there. We saw the first sin. Now we're going to see the first sacrifice. And it says there, God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve and clothed them. Did you know this? Back to the very first sin. This was kind of a new revelation to me. Go back to the very first sin. God, he put, you know, they were in leaves. Do you remember that? Then we see he killed an animal and made them clothes of skin. There had to be a sacrifice, even all the way back to Adam and Eve, for their sin. So that was the first sin. That was the first sacrifice. That's a lot of information, I know. But I do want you to practice it. just try. Think about it. How could you start a creation conversation? How can you move into Adam and Eve? How can you tell them about their first sin and the very first sacrifice? So let's try. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Does anybody have any questions?
What is this about?
Okay, that's next.
Oh,
okay. Well, hopefully we'll get to that. Okay, sorry. In Zambia, this one lady, her question was, you know, I just lightly talked about the first sin like I did with y'all, assuming they knew it. She said, I need to know what that first sin is. She was serious as a heart attack. She did not know. I'm just telling you, there are people here in Brookhaven that do not know. They do not know that we believe God created the world. They do not know that Adam and Eve sinned. They do not know there has to be a blood sacrifice for their own sin. And who is it? All these other world religions are just working their way to salvation. Working, working, working. And we're not. We're over here because the work is finished. So, anyway, practice this. It may be a little harder, but just try. You want me to give you 30 seconds? Or you want a minute? Connie, you just said it. Okay, 30 seconds. If you promise you'll practice at home. Okay, go. Start with creation, move to Adam and Eve. Just try. Just dialogue through it. Bill and I sat with a Muslim for 3 hours in my house one night, and we went through all of the Old Testament and all the sacrifices. They believe in Abraham. So this is an important thing to learn. But you have to explain to them that the Old Testament sacrifices, they were only temporary. We know that, but we've got to explain that to others. It's just a symbol of Jesus and who would be a sacrifice as well. We needed a final sacrifice. And that's how you move into Jesus. You begin focusing on the blood sacrifice that he made. And that's why Jesus came to earth and why he had to die. One of my favorite stories from Jesus' life is when John the Baptist sees him coming, you know, and he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John was calling Jesus God's Lamb because the Lamb, as you know, was usually the sacrificial animal. Jesus was that last sacrifice. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Jesus was saying there doesn't have to be any more sacrifices made. And these world religions that make sacrifices every day of their life, and Ramadan right now, they're not eating and doing all these things, that's good news. They can relax. The work is finished. You can know you're forgiven. You don't have to hope when you get to heaven that you're forgiven. Our friend was like, "Well, I'm hoping that my angel on this side outweighs my angel on that side." And I just said, "What has Muhammad done for you? This is what Jesus has done for me. He made a sacrifice for me. Did anybody sacrifice for you? You know, I don't have to hope. I know my sins are forgiven." Do y'all want to practice talking about Jesus? That's a little easier. He's the last sacrifice. We have the first sin, the first sacrifice, then all the Old Testament exhausting sacrifices, and then the one final sacrifice. I'll give you 30 seconds. Talk about Jesus. All right, you ready? Yeah. With the first and last sacrifice. It's definitely a way of evangelism that a lot of North American missionaries use. It's an easy way to do it. There's an app on your phone. If you want the app, I can give it to you afterwards. You push, it's so wonderful, you push a button and the next circle comes up. You push a button and the next circle comes up, and underneath it, it tells how to explain the circle. So how much easier can life get? So it's called Three Circles Evangelism, too. You can Google it and find out. But it begins with brokenness. Now, what I want you to do is I'm going to write on my little dry erase board, and this is how you're going to fill in your circles, okay? So you're going to start with does brokenness have two ends? I don't know. Okay. It does? Thank you. All right, so you're going to start with brokenness. Now, this is wonderful for ladies. When we're with our friends, what are we always talking about? Our brokenness. It's so easy. We can relate to it. Oh, we're in a difficult marriage. I've got a rebellious child. I've got, an aging parent. I've got a sick spouse. I mean, the list goes on and on, right? But it begins with our struggles. And everybody can relate to this. And women go to women with their brokenness, don't they? I'm sure many days in your workplace or wherever you are, women are coming to you in their brokenness. Every woman wants to share their struggles, so this is a great place to start. So as you're with women, you know, you just want to be a good listener, learn about their situation, and give encouragement this way. You're going to say, you know what? Our lives are broken, but God did not design it that way. You kind of go back to creation, to Adam and Eve. So come over here and write God's design. Now, if you're on the mission field somewhere, you're just going to draw these with your finger in the dirt. But we are in America, so you don't have to do that. You'll just pull out your app. So you're going to share with your friend, you know what? God did not design for our lives to be so broken, for our lives to be so hard. He had a perfect design with Adam and Eve. You can go back to creation. And then what entered? Y'all know, sin. Okay? So then you're going to put sin. What led to the brokenness in our life? It was sin. And then you see these arrows. I love these arrows. They're like, you know. I love those arrows. Because what do we do in our brokenness? We run to all kind of crazy things, right? In America, what do? We run, some people run to a false religion. We might run to drugs. We might run to an addiction. We run to all these things. You know, I go shopping. You know, what do? In your brokenness, you think, oh, that's going to make me feel better. But, of course, we know it never satisfies, does it? We always have to, we get to the end of ourselves, and we want something greater than that. We're not satisfied in it. And God did not leave us here in this brokenness. What did he do? So you say, you know, what? You might be saying to your friend, what are you running to? You're broken. God did not design this. You know, sin brought you here. Sin brought us here in general. And what are you going to, are you going to run to all these things that aren't going to satisfy you? Or are you going to turn to Jesus? That's the question. That's the turning point. It's like Henry Blackaby, crisis of belief. You've got to decide. So then we see that God sent Jesus. So on our, you've got to believe Jesus, his work, and not just believe in Jesus, the image, demons believe in Jesus, but we have to turn from sin. Okay? And you write in this last circle, you learn all that through what? Through the gospel. Okay? You can't see. I'm sorry. Is that here? Probably not. So you hear the gospel, you share the gospel with your friend. Do they believe it? Do they want to turn from their sin? They may love their sin and they want to stay in their brokenness, let's be honest. Okay? Or do they hate their sin because God has put that desire in their heart to hate it like he hates it? They believe Jesus' word and they receive the Holy Spirit and are able to turn from their sin. And then they follow Jesus. Alright? And when you follow Jesus with your life, what does it do? It gets you back to God's design for you. Do you see the circle? It's a beautiful picture. I love a visual. And this is simple. I don't know who made this up, but it's been used for many, many years by many missionaries. And so I feel like it's a good visual, and it's just an easy way to do it. If you have your app, you can just flip through it so quickly. So, we only have 4 minutes left, so I'm not going to let you try it, even though I know you're dying to. But anyway, let's finish up. Go home and try it. Get the app. Google it. Get the app. Think about this. I'm telling you, even if you don't sit with your friend and draw circles, talking it through this way is really, really great. It's a really great way to point others to Jesus. You're just looking for how can I turn my conversation to Jesus. And either way you use of sharing your faith, it's important to get to the point of asking your friends, do you believe this? Do you believe God created the world? That's the very first step. Do you believe that sin separated you from God? Do you believe that your sin is leading you to hell? Do you believe that hell is even a real place? That's the question for today. Do you want to be free from your sin? Are you willing to give up your sin? Do you believe that Jesus has provided a way for you to be rescued from your sin? And do you believe Jesus is the only way for you to be rescued? Those are just some key questions. And I want to challenge you in this way. Being a vessel that shares your faith is not just going to be a one-time situation. You know this, ladies. It's not going to be here and there. It's going to be your whole life. One of my life verses is 1 Thessalonians 2:8. It says, having such a fond affection of you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel, but also our own lives. Paul was saying to this church in Thessalonica, I love you so much that I didn't just run in, tell you the gospel, and run out of town. No, I gave you my whole life. We have this Hindu family in town that we're familiar with, and we've known them for over 10 years. And they needed help when the children were younger. Their youngest daughter is the same age as my daughter, Claire. And they needed help taking her to and from school when she was young, so we took them to school, took her to school a lot. We just this year, we gave her her 14th birthday party. 2 years ago, her mom, the stepmom, who's a very strong Hindu, joined our English as a second language class. This past year, both the older sister and Dia asked me for a Bible. They come to a lot of our youth events, which is amazing. God is working in their life. And all throughout it, we've shared our faith with them many times. And I just pray that it may take forever, but I keep praying that God will lead them to faith. Another thing that takes my whole life, obviously y'all know I have a lot of kids. And my house, I just always have it open for other kids. There's always children that aren't mine there. And one thing I love to do is cook. And, you know, I have an island, and I'm always standing behind the island cooking. But I have these little bar stools at my island. And especially teenage boys, but anybody, will sit at that bar stool anytime I'm cooking while they're waiting on food. And you can just talk to them, share my faith with them, ask them their brokenness, what happened at school today, what's going on. Just while children are waiting on food. So use that as a thing. And then I've talked to you a little bit about our Vietnamese ladies. They're from the nail salon in Latin. My nails aren't very bright today, but you'll see I have them painted. I never wanted to have my nails painted. I don't mind it on other people. I think they're pretty, but it's just like, gosh, that takes a lot of time. That takes a lot of money every 2 weeks. I mean, I can't do that. Until Kelly and I started teaching them English as a second language. And then I was like, she and I both were like, how can we be with them more? So what do I do now? I go get my nails painted. It's amazing as someone is, you know, painting your nails, the conversations you can have. And I encourage you to go to Enliven. I know a lot of you already do that, as you've heard about our friends there. But just think about, who are you working with? Who around you needs to hear Jesus? And how can you share with them your love for them? I want to close with 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." We're just his ambassador. That means we're God's official representative. I told the ladies, they're God's official Zambian representative. Begging people everywhere you go, just be about begging people, be reconciled to God. So I pray that that's just your challenge today. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time, and thank you for these women being willing to jump on the bandwagon with me this morning and share their faith around this room, God. And I pray that over time that they would take these methods. They're just methods, Lord. We trust only in you and your word. But God, we just want to be that ambassador for you, using these methods in our daily lives, pointing others to Jesus. And we pray that you would give each of us here more courage to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.